The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Taxes show.
They say it takes a big man to admit he's wrong, but I say it takes an even bigger man to admit he's never wrong.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you that bigger man, Eric Metaxas.
That's right, folks. Never wrong. And when I am, I won't admit it. In fact, I won't even admit what I just said. Scratch that. Hey, I am so excited right now. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited. I'm sitting here in the studio with my guest, who's the author of a new book. The book is called A War of Loves, The Unexpected Story of a Gay Activist Discovering Jesus. That former gay activist who's discovered Jesus and who's the author of A War of Loves is none other than David Bennett. David, welcome to this program.
Thank you so much for having me, Eric.
I am excited and privileged to get to tell your story on this program. We were talking off the air that your journey, it's the narrative that is never told, the story that's never told in public life. And it enrages me because people who've taken the journey that you've taken are as real as anyone else, but it's as if you don't exist, or people sort of want to avoid your story. It's a beautiful story. It's an extraordinary story. It's, in fact, a miraculous story. Let me say, in case people are wondering who you are besides the author of this book, you're from Sydney, Australia. You're pursuing a PhD, a DPhil in theology at Oxford. You're a fellow at the Oxford Center for Christian Apologetics, and you hold an Oxford postgraduate degree in theology as well as a master's degree in analytic theology from the University of St. Andrews, Scotland, which is probably where you met N.T. Wright, who wrote the foreword to this book.
Correct.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Your story. You're a young man, disturbingly young.
Yes.
You are not yet 30, but you've had quite a life, and you tell it in this book. So what is the story? You say you were a gay activist. Were you raised in a Christian home?
So I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I was raised in an agnostic atheist home.
In an agnostic atheist
home. Okay. I came out at the age of 14 to my mother.
Now, when you say you came out, how long before that did you think you were attracted to men? How old were you when you knew that you were attracted to men?
When I was about 9 or 10, I had a strange fascination with Aladdin. Let's just say that stuck.
Okay.
You know, when
that could just be bad taste.
It could be bad taste.
I think it's just bad
taste.
And
I thought maybe it was. But as I hit puberty and was awakened to, you know, the reality of being a sexual being, I wasn't attracted to women at all.
You know who's a sexual being? Have you met Albin? Oh, my goodness. He's just bristling with sexuality.
Well, you know, like,
he paces like a jungle cat out there, just bristling with sexuality. No, it's kind of funny. You say sexual being. Okay, so you're a normal boy, right?
I'm just a normal boy,
but I'm
at the swimming pool, and I'm like looking at the male bodies going, why am I having that reaction?
Yeah.
And
You didn't live in a home where they told you not to have that reaction, or did you?
No, my parents were. My mother always told me, you know, gay people are to be loved. They're like everyone else. You know, love is love.
But how did you feel? In other words, when these feelings are coming to you as a as a young boy, what were you bothered by them because they were out of the norm?
It's extremely difficult, I think, because, you know, I heard my uncles, many of them Christians, making homophobic comments. And so what happened to me is I started to internalize a self-rejection. And so, you know, the same-sex attracted celibate priest Henry Nouwen, you know, one of the greatest, I think, Christian spiritual writers of our time.
No question.
He said, you know, the greatest enemy to the spiritual life is self-rejection. It's that part of us that says, I'm not worthy of God's love.
It's
and actually,
interesting
that for me it was internalized, and I rejected self-rejection. So becoming a gay activist for me was about rejecting that self-rejection.
Okay, so you...
But for radical self-disclosure, like, I'm a gay activist. Hi, my name's David Bennett. I'm gay. This is the first thing you'll ever know about me. And if you don't like it, then I don't like you. Goodbye. You know,
right.
That kind of virulent... But actually, I was still being controlled by self-rejection. There was still a...
Well, of course. I mean, that's clear. That's clear.
Exactly.
And that there's a lot of anger and there's a lot of... it's interesting because, you know, you can go back and forth. It's a chicken or the egg thing. People say that I feel bad about myself because other people say I'm bad. And if they would say I'm good, I wouldn't feel bad about myself. And so you try to get the world to say what you want them to say.
Yeah. And also, you know, I was at a Christian school. And they were teaching me, you know, we're made, you know, we're sinners and we need salvation. And I'm sitting there going, I've done absolutely nothing to cause myself to have these same-sex desires that won't change. Why would this God of love supposedly condemn me for something that I can't change?
Right.
So that superficial level, that logical level, I couldn't see God. I couldn't see a point to access the grace of God.
Right.
And so I just became more and more atheistic. I got involved in New Age religion, in Wicca.
Okay, so wait,
Buddhism.
When you were 14, you announced this to your parents.
I told my parents, write about that.
Were there any ramifications?
My parents were totally, totally fine. I mean, they were normal, secular, agnostic kind of parents. They're just like, that's part of who you are. We love you. Like, we look forward to meeting your partner in the future. But I think every parent has an image of what their child's going to become that is somehow related to themselves. And for my parents... there was that shattering of that image, and they had to actually get to know another aspect of who I was, how things had turned out. So I think that was hard for them, but ultimately there was a loving acceptance.
Okay, so you become, it sounds like an angry or at least passionate gay activist already in your teens.
Well, what happened was I had many experiences of homophobia. So I had a boyfriend at the age of 15. He was from a traditional Christian denomination, and he handed me an amber cross in a park and kissed me on the lips. And a man drove up on a motorbike, took a stone from the garden bed, and proceeded to throw it 10 yards over, and it hit me right bang on the right, like on my chest in the right part, and like winded me. And I just remember this rage filling me. And weirdly, at that moment, I had the cross in my hand. Like, could you get more prophetic than that? Like, but I thought that that cross was the symbol of my oppression. I thought that cross was what was oppressing gay people. I couldn't see that actually right under my nose, God was saying, I went through that stoning on the cross. I went through that pain and suffering.
And at the same time, it's important for devout Christians to hear your story, to hear that a sweet young man who didn't ask for these feelings is trying to make his way through, and that you are at times the object of a kind of hatred like this, in this case, violent. It's an amazing thing, and it will drive anyone away from God if they somehow think that God is behind that or his worldview rejects me. And so, but how amazing that here you are kissing as a teenager and that you experienced. I mean, that is an amazing moment.
And actually on the cover of the book, there's a little cross there, amber cross, which recognizing that God was on the chase. You know, he was pursuing me even at that age. I ended up at a psychic when I was 15 because I became like this French existentialist. I was reading Jean-Paul Sartre. I went on French exchange.
That sounds incredibly pretentious.
It was
but
very
when you're 15,
pretentious. But,
that's
you know,
your job. That's your job. Were you smoking clove cigarettes?
I prefer precocious, but you know, we can have both.
I love that. I love the idea of a 15-year-old calling himself a French existentialist. That's
I don't know. I was unconvinced. In the end, I wasn't. But I was trying to find a world. I was trying to find something.
No, of course. Yeah, that's what young people do, but it's so funny.
Yeah.
To me, it's so funny.
I am a French existentialist.
Okay, so you are. What drives you to a psychic?
So I started getting this.
It wasn't Sartre.
No, it was this constant haunting sense that there's something more, and I had that all my life. In fact, I feel the Holy Spirit now. You know, my whole life there was this constant knocking at my heart, but I kept resisting it, and so I went to this psychic. She read my tarot cards. She looked up at me and she said,
you're a child of the light. You're destined to be with Jesus, the greatest mediator in the spiritual realms. And I was like, can I have my $20 back, please? Like, I did not come here to hear about Jesus. You know, I stormed out of there, went and spoke to my, you know, token feminist friend, Emma, in the book, and said, you know, who does she think she is? Does she know who I am? I'm like a gay activist. Like, I don't want to be a gay activist.
Let's hang on right there, folks. I'm talking to David Bennett, the author of A War of Loves, the unexpected story of a gay activist discovering Jesus. Stick around.
Say, live and let die.
You've wrestled with that issue for so long. You don't know who to talk to. You're too embarrassed to tell your friends or family what you're dealing with. You're even reluctant to talk to your pastor. I know. I was there too. But it got to a point that something had to change. And then I found Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling is a team of licensed Christian counselors who share your faith and will help you through your problem. They want to give you a free week just to try it out. You can begin a conversation when you're ready by text or phone, even video conferencing, from the comfort of your own home. And your first week is free. If it's not for you, you can cancel during your first week and not pay a dime. Why not give it a try? Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. Talk to someone who can help. Go right now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Let them help. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
The way you get your medicine prescriptions is now changing across America. GoGoMeds.com can deliver your medicine right to your door. Here's all you need to do. Your doctor gives you the prescription. You go online to GoGoMeds.com, put in your information, and make sure to include the promo code MIKE2018 to save $10 off your first prescription. Your meds are then delivered to your home, and you've saved money. It's that easy. No more waiting, no lines, no copay each month, and best of all, no wandering around the store aimlessly waiting for your prescription to be filled. GoGoMeds.com, the new way to get your medicine delivered right to your door. Remember that getting your prescription filled now means never having to go to a store again. GoGoMeds.com. GoGoMeds.com. Use the promo code MIKE2018 to save $10 off your first prescription. That's GoGoMeds.com. Promo code MIKE2018.
Ike was such a sweet, lovable animal, and people would want to pet him, and they'd come up, and they'd get close to him, and it would be this instant, oh! My dad didn't want to touch him. It's like, ooh, get the stinky dog away from me.
Even after we'd give her a bath, she would still stink.
Very stinky, both bad breath and bad gas.
I asked the vet, and he said, some dogs are just stinky.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Dinovite .com.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
The ingredients convinced me that it was definitely worth trying. After about a week, he started smelling normal. My husband and I were really kind of astonished.
Dynavite is nutrition.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of conservatives winning the war on issues like gun rights, religious liberty, immigration law, and the sanctity of life. We use our cell phones every single day, so why not use them to make a change? Patriot Mobile does just that. They exist to donate a portion of your monthly bill to 17 conservative organizations fighting for your beliefs. And for the entire month of November, you can buy one line and get another line free for 12 months. Every day, people are switching their cell phone service to Patriot Mobile, and they love knowing their cell phone company supports conservative causes they believe in. Switching to Patriot Mobile is easy. You can keep your number, get the same super reliable nationwide service, and feel good about funding the right agendas with every call you make. With unlimited plans starting as low as $20 per month, why wait? Visit them online at patriotmobile.com or call them at 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile. Come join the family.
Sometimes you dream, sometimes.
sometimes it seems there's nothing there at all. You just seem older than yesterday, and you're waiting for tomorrow to call.
Hey folks, it's Eric Metaxas Show. We are talking about this book, A War of Loves, The Unexpected Story of a Gay Activist Discovering Jesus, the author David Bennett with me in the studio. David, first of all, congratulations on this book. It's a nice cover.
Do you like it?
Zondervan doesn't normally do such nice covers.
Well, I said to them...
What, make sure you're talking to the microphone.
Sorry,
I insult all publishers
oh, no,
equally.
No,
honestly, this is terrific. A War of Loves, great title. You were just at that moment where you're telling the story of you go to a psychic and even the psychic somehow mentions Jesus, even though the psychic obviously... Yeah. Not exactly theologically orthodox, but then you go to your feminist friend and your feminist friend says what?
She said, well, maybe it's true. Maybe you will become a Christian. I said, do you know who I am?
Like, I love when, you know, when they say like a broken clock is right twice a day, like the fact that if you just talk to enough people and they're honest, stuff comes out. You can't, who would expect a feminist to say that? That's funny.
Well, it's, you know, I mean, we were young kids playing around trying to find meaning and transcendence, you know, and there God was in the middle of that trying to reach me. But I still resisted it because, again, this sense of I cannot reconcile faith and sexuality, like they don't belong together. And after that, I just decided I'd be an atheist. And that was, you know, the kind of inevitable thing.
How far did you get with that?
So I ended up in kind of left-wing politics, and I was involved in a lot of like gay rights marches. We did like gay marriage marches, and we were really going for, you know, civil partnerships to be legalized, which was actually great, you know.
So this is a little bit over 10 years ago.
This is about 10 years ago, and so I ended up in this kind of bar club place where all the intelligentsia of Sydney, you know, on Oxford Street, they'd be every Saturday, Sunday. And I wrote a question in a journal. I used to hand this journal around. It was, again, pretty pretentious, but I used to like art to ask questions. and now I've become an apologist. fancy that. But
yeah, yeah.
But
you sold out to the man.
I sold out to man.
Yeah.
But,
okay, so you're in this. Now, is this a gay bar?
It would have a lot of gay people in it, but I don't think it would be exclusive.
It wasn't officially
alternative.
Gay. Yeah.
You know, it was a bit hipster.
Alternative, which means like kind of nasty hair. Patchouli.
No, a fantastic fashion sense.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, it depends. There's all kinds of alternative.
I'll pull
your mic closer. I want to make sure that I hear you.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're in this bar, and what happens?
So I write the question, what is love? And I'm like, I want to know the answer to that. And that's why I call the book A War of Loves, because it really emerges out of that question. And it's more than just a book about same-sex attraction or being gay. It's about what love is. And so I asked that question and I wrote it out and I got all the responses back and I was like, what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. You know, and I was like, oh, thanks. That's deep. And then there was some austere quotes from like a Czechoslovakian philosopher and a bit of Plato in there.
But I have to say, what a wonderful thing that you're a young man and you're asking the right questions. I mean, to ask the question, what is love? It's like saying, what is truth? I mean, that's the big question. And if people would just think about that, it can't help but help. But so in your case, what happened?
So then I just looked at all these responses and I said, these are the future leaders of my generation. And they don't have an answer. And they're spending their lives talking about love, but there's no substance. And so I think I had an Ecclesiastes moment. I had that kind of like, everything's vain. Why am I doing this? This doesn't work. And the facade of the secular ideal of romantic love broke. And the idolatry of romantic love became apparent to me that it's a false god, really. I wouldn't have said it that way. And, you know, C.S. Lewis says, if I find in myself a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, then I know that I was made for another world. But I'd even intensify that and say another love, another something higher, something more transcendent. So I decided, you know, I was going to be single, celibate, give it a break for a while, and try to like return to my spirituality. December 2008, I ended up at the Christmas lunch table. Greek family, religion and politics comes onto the, you know.
So wait, but is your family Greek Greek? Because you are Greek. You told me that.
Anglicized Greek, so they got all the paranoia and all the.
But they're ethnically Greek, but nobody's speaking with a Greek accent.
No, no one. Okay. And we don't really make Greek food.
Right.
Or maybe a bit of Spanish appetite.
But you're still ethnically Greek, so you know there's going to be trouble at the table.
Yeah, and so my uncle, who's a high-class lawyer and a fundamentalist extremist Christian.
Really?
That speaks in tongues and goes to one of those weird brainwashing churches.
Wonderful.
He says to me something about God. I'm like, well, you Christians think you've got the absolute truth. Well, let me tell you, there is no absolute truth. And I've studied postmodern philosophy at university. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So don't try to talk to me about God. I mean, And the machine gun objections come, you know, thick and fast. And so he turns to me and says, well, you say there's no absolute truth. That's an absolute truth. And you just communicated that with language. So you just doubly contradicted yourself.
Oh, snap.
Bang.
You've got a pretty bright uncle, because a lot of people would not, it's a valid point, isn't it?
Whenever somebody
says there's no absolute truth, you think, okay, so you're sure of that, right?
Exactly. And so, you know, Os Guinness says once you push a relativist, at some point they're no longer going to be a relativist. And that's what he did to me. And I was infuriated and I, you know, said, well, what about the gay community? What about what the church has done to women? You know, and I kind of stormed out of the room and tried to close the door behind me. It wasn't very convincing. And, you know, I secretly liked his answers to my questions. He was in the car with my aunt after that. And he said, I see the Holy Spirit over David. He'll be saved in 3 months' time. And my aunt was like, did you just... What?
Brendan, wait a minute. So your uncle is not only
I've got the
very
fringe,
bright
the tight jeans, like,
but that doesn't matter. He didn't see that. He saw the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But how cool though that you have an uncle that, to use the Christian phrase, that moves in those gifts, because there are many Christians, many listening right now, that they don't do that.
Well, my life has been continually marked by the prophetic. And it started there. And
I'm right there with you, but I'm saying there's so many Christians that they just wouldn't, they're not even open to that, really. But how extraordinary that your uncle says this. Obviously, you didn't hear it because it's in the car with his aunt, but he somehow knew God spoke to him about you.
He did. And he said, like, I'm prophesying. Like, this is a prophetic word. Like, with total confidence. And he's kind of like a dry-witted, very... He wouldn't prophesy unless it's really a prophecy. That's what my uncle's like.
Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. In fact, people who aren't like that are supposed to be stoned outside the camp.
Exactly. But, you know, there's people... Exactly. We need to get it right. So, anyway, 3 months later, he said 3 months' time, you know, David will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So I'm in this pub, and there's this filmmaker there, young girl, and... she'd made a film and got into the largest short film competition in the world. And she was like the ideal person to me. She was a young creative. She was doing something with social justice. She was making films about people who deal with disability. And I just loved her.
And this is in a pub in Sydney?
In a pub in the gay quarter of Sydney, right near that pub, that other club I was at.
Okay.
Gay flag flying above the pub. She says to me, I say to her, what inspired you to make this film? She says, God, my whole face scrunches up, but I can't dismiss her because she's done such amazing work. It's like, how could a girl believe in that religion and do such amazing work? This doesn't make sense. How could she? So that was not working for me. Anyway, then she says to me, what was God and Jesus? And she says, well, do you believe there's a God? I said, well, there's definitely something out there, but certainly not organized religion. Jesus is a great man, but not God. That's human-invented religion. Like, I'm good. Thank you so much. I'm gay. I've read 1 Corinthians 6:9. I've read Romans 1. I've read, you know, Leviticus 18 and 20. Like, we're pretty good. Like, your God doesn't love me. Next. And she just turns to me and she says, have you experienced the love of God? And I was just stopped in my tracks. Like, I had never been asked that question by a Christian. As soon as I divulged that I was gay, everything would just close up. But she didn't regard that as something that was an impediment to me knowing God. She was like, okay, great, whatever. Like, have you experienced the love of God? And something stopped me in my tracks at that moment. And she said, I don't usually do this, but I really feel the presence of God right now. And I have to pray for you. Like, could I please pray for you? And she didn't say it in a, like, I'm trying to convert you way, just in a really, like, natural, as if this is real thing. And I'd never seen it before. So I said, yeah, sure, you can pray for me. So she launches into the Christian prayer of the century, and I go into this kind of still moment where all time stops. It's like I'm in a cocoon of, like, timelessness. It was crazy. And this tingling sensation starts happening on the top of my head. And that's like oil was just like poured out.
Oh my gosh.
The top of my head.
I'm going to cut you off at the most dramatic point of the story. This is what's called in the biz a cliffhanger. Folks, stick around. I'm talking to David Bennett. The book is A War of Loves. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Making for the trades on the outside.
And the down... Now playing.
What are you fighting for?
Gotta do what my father couldn't.
The movie event, 40 years in the making.
Drago's kid. It's dangerous.
Arrives.
You got people that need you now.
Creed 2 will make the whole family stand up and cheer. Michael B. Jordan.
We gotta do this together because we're a team.
Sylvester Stallone.
Now you know what you're fighting for.
What's your name?
Creed!
Creed 2, rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. Now playing.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper in credit card debt? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management will consolidate your accounts and work with your creditors. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers, and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
The show, and I'm sure you want to hear the rest of the story. If you're listening to this program, we're at a very, very exciting point. David Bennett, the author of A War of Loves, is telling, boy, what a story. So you're in the pub, this woman prays for you, and something supernatural happens.
Yeah.
There's no other way to put it.
Yeah, I can feel it now. Like, basically, you know, in the Bible, it talks about how, you know, God anointed his servant David with his sacred oil, you know, and in this moment, my name's David. And God did that. He poured out this oil, this anointing on my head.
So you can feel this palpably. This is a young woman. Like, she's praying for you, but you said you felt a tingling on your head.
She's praying like, in the name of Jesus, like every dark thing leave David, like salvation come right now. Like I just tell every principality and power to flee. Like he is the Lord's, like things like this.
What is this woman's name?
In the book, it's Madeline.
Madeline, but she doesn't want her real name used?
No, I think she'd prefer to, like...
That's hilarious.
I know, yeah.
I love it. I want to meet Madeline. I want to fly to Australia to meet Madeline.
You should meet Madeline.
Unless she comes to the U.S. How amazing, but what a bold thing for her to do. Magnificent.
It was amazing because she loved me.
I mean, it's obvious that she loved you more than she loved, you know... your opinion of her or anything. She just thought, I'm going to do this. I want to do this.
And she'd been fasting. She'd been tithing. She'd been living a life of holiness in the church. And she was all about justice. as well.
How wonderful.
For the poor, for the outcast. And so she kept praying, and as she did, I heard this voice say to me, "Do you want me?"
So while you're feeling this,
I had like power going through my legs.
You
like
could feel you could feel the power of God upon you physically.
It was like fire, like going through me.
And
I never experienced anything like it in my life. And I remember saying to myself, "Oh my gosh, God is real. This changes everything."
And while this is happening, you hear God say something to you. What was it?
"Do you want me?"
Wow.
A.W. Tozer says, "God waits to be wanted." And there's this beautiful moment where God almost humbly goes lower than me, goes under me and says, "Do you want me?" And it was like he was romancing me, you know, like I was looking for a boyfriend, for romantic love. And God was like, "Hey, I got a higher form of transcendence. Why don't we try that? Do you want me?" Three times he says this to me.
No, you didn't hear an audible voice.
No, I'd never heard a voice. I'd done meditation, like I'd done all sorts of like stuff to try to like have a spiritual experience in my past.
Yeah.
Nothing as real as this.
Yeah.
Nothing as direct.
Yeah.
It was like a voice outside of my consciousness.
Mm.
And it freaked me out. It freaked me out. Like I was like, "What is that? You know, hello, creator of the universe, like hotline." You know, it was. And so this voice is three times and I said yes, which surprised me. But he went right down to the deepest longing of the human heart. He
knew that you could feel this.
I could feel it. And as that happens, I see this huge like veil. Like it's like a dark, thick veil over my heart. And I'm like, "Oh, what's that? I don't want that." You know, and I was like, "Oh." And suddenly I was aware of my own sin, my own depravity, like this death that was over me. And I felt this pinprick of light come out of nowhere and just go straight into the deepest part of like my innermost being. And I felt this breath like a just enter me. And I said to her, "I'm breathing without breathing." And she said, "You're being born again." Now that word wasn't a word I liked. I didn't understand it. Anyway, she kept praying for me.
This is in the pub.
Just in the pub. And
what kind of a pub is this?
It's called the Dolphin Hotel, actually, in Sydney. So you can go there and grab a drink. But she just knew what I needed, and God was there, and the presence of God was there. And so then I heard a voice say, "Will you accept my son Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" And at this point, I felt like a tug of war over my soul. It was like, you know, two forces. Would I say yes? Would I say no? And I was like, "I don't want that darkness in my life. I want the light." So I said yes. And then this love just poured out on me. And I was like sweating. My whole body was hot to like get something to like wipe my brow down. Because I was just... And so she takes me home in the cab. My mom's waiting up. She's there. And I'm going to have to eat my words, because I had said to my mom, who'd become a Christian 3 years before this, "You have to choose between the delusion in your head and your real son."
Okay, we left that part of the story out because you told me before we started recording. But so in the middle of all this, here you're a teenager, you're angry, you've become an ardent gay activist. In the middle of that, your mother, who's an agnostic atheist, suddenly becomes a Christian.
Yeah.
So were you 16 at that point?
Yeah. And she said to my aunt, "I sense a spirit of death over our family. I want to come to church with you on Sunday." Total, like, atheist, agnostic. So the Holy Spirit, my dad recently got saved as well. He had a stroke and I had
You're talking about very recently?
Very recently. So my whole family's in the kingdom now. It's absolutely amazing.
Okay, so now just so people are tracking.
Yeah.
So 10 years ago, you're 19, you have this experience in the pub and you accept Jesus.
I accept Jesus.
What happens right then? I mean, do you don't really know, I guess.
I mean, for me, it was like this war between my head and my heart, because my head was totally like postmodernist.
Right. Now you've got to figure out what do you do with that. Okay, hang on a second. We're going to go to another break. Folks, talking to David Bennett. The book is A War of Loves, The Unexpected Story of a Gay Activist Discovering Jesus. Stick around. Hey, Albin.
Hey, Eric.
I want to tell you about Relief Factor.
Please do.
I take relief factor.
I know you do.
Every day. And in fact, I'd take it right now, but I can't because I'm doing this commercial.
Oh.
But honestly, every day I take relief factor. It is, these are all botanicals. They're natural. They're people all, I talk to people all the time. They say, I've got this ache and this pain. And I say, have you tried relief factor? And they say, no. I say, listen, as your friend, $19.95, you get the quick start pack. You go to relieffactor.com. You will know at the end of 3 weeks, probably before, whether it works for you. But it works for tons of people. It works for me. It's why I take it. It's all natural. You don't have to worry about toxicity. For example, Michael from Connecticut writes in. He says, Relief Factor helped to almost completely eliminate my elbow pain when I could not find any other solution. It's a great product. It's helped with a lot of other aches and pains. Since I started Relief Factor, I feel like I've got more energy and generally feel better. Holy cow. Folks, I don't want to promise too much, but I will tell you, for many people, Relief Factor is a life changer. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
Freedom. One nation in all of human history was built on that bedrock. Ours. A republic of the people, by the people, and for the people. Self-government requires freedom. Just as freedom requires an individual willingness to self-govern. Freedom has made America exceptional. But it can only last as long as you and I seek the good, as expressed by the laws of nature and nature's God. It can only last if you and I choose to act as people of character. Forging character has been the pursuit of Hillsdale College since 1844. Hillsdale College forges character and elevates civic discourse both on campus and nationwide. To find out how you can take their free online courses or receive a complimentary subscription to Imprimis, a monthly speech digest, visit hillsdalefreedom.com. That's hillsdalefreedom.com.
Have you ever seen a pest controller spraying chemicals in your home? It makes you wonder, if their chemicals are safe, then why do they suit up and wear respirators only to leave you to walk back in unprotected? G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-In Pest Free, and I'm here to tell you there's a better way. In an age where we now have the choice to drive electric cars, you too can electronically rid your home or business of unwanted rodents and pests. The answer is Plug-In Pest Free. 100% chemical-free, Plug-In Pest Free is your safest bet for your family and pets. Our bestseller, the Plug-In Pest Free Pro, will cover up to 4,000 square feet. Now that's fair dinkum. So order yours today at gopestfree.com. Use promo code RADIO20 for 20% off plus free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's gopestfree.com, promo code RADIO20. Don't spray and regret, plug in and forget. GoPestFree.com today.
This is going to be the best holiday ever.
Sure, I maxed out a couple of credit cards and overdrew a bank account or two, but they're not mine. They're yours. All that online shopping and booking travel you do around the holidays, it can leave you exposed. Yay! Now I have passwords, account info, social security numbers, hundreds of them. I got more lists than Santa. It truly is the most wonderful time of year.
For cyber criminals, the season of giving is the season of taking. Good thing there's LifeLock with Norton. LifeLock helps detect threats to your identity like your information for sale on the dark web. And Norton Security protects your devices against cyber threats like malware. No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But thanks to LifeLock with Norton, you don't have to let cyber criminals unhappy your holidays. Get 10% off your first year plus a $25 Amazon gift card with annual enrollment. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code SMART. That's promo code SMART.
It's the Eric Metaxas Show. That's the Ohio Players. I'm Eric Metaxas. And I'm sitting here with David Bennett, all the way from Australia, actually all the way from Oxford, England. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Mr. Bennett. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Eric.
Program spelled with two M's and an E at the end. welcome indeed. Welcome. You're telling us
spelling.
An extraordinary story. At age 19, all this stuff happens to you. So where do you go from here? Do you just sort of stumble around while God sorts you out? What do you do?
Well, I get home that night and my mom's there and I'm going to have to eat my words because I've said to my mom, you know, you got to choose between me and your faith. And I'm there, I've experienced Jesus, I'm coming home, and I just said, Mom, I think I've actually just become a Christian. Hallelujah! I knew that he was the God of the impossible.
Your
I made
mother
a covenant.
Said that.
No, my mother's an opera singer, so there's
well,
like...
Well, let me tell you yeah. something, you young punk. Speaking as a father now, you know, yeah. of a 19-year-old girl.
Yeah.
You, when you're young, there's no way you can imagine the heart of a parent. I mean, it's a frightening thing. The love we have for our children, it's frightening because you would just do anything. You love them so much. So this moment for your mother.
Oh, yeah.
I can't, you know, I get tears in my eyes thinking about what it must have meant to her. That her prayers for the impossible had been answered and that you walk in and you tell her, I've become a Christian. I mean, that's crazy.
You got it. That's it. And she said, I made a covenant with God. That if he's the God of the impossible and he saves me, well, I was impossible to save. So that would prove that he's the God of the impossible. And she'd give her whole life to him. And so she tells me about this prophetic word from my uncle.
That 3 months earlier, he'd said this.
And I was completely gobsmacked. Like,
can you translate
it
into an American English?
Gobsmacked means like bowled over.
Bowled over.
Bowled over.
Bowled, I was bowled over.
I was bowled
over,
yeah.
Gobsmacked sounds so much better.
Hey, lovely.
Gobsmacked.
my Oxford right. time has changed my accent.
I love.
There's no Australian left here. No.
Yeah, gosh. Gobsmacked. Yes. Okay, so you were gobsmacked.
Yeah.
I would think that, you know, after you've experienced this day, and then now you come and tell your mother, and then she tells you, 3 months ago, your uncle prophesied this. That must have just sealed the deal. God is real.
Well, I was so still struggling. But yes, I mean, it was like this war between my head and my heart. That's part of the reason I called it a war of loves, is that it took me a long time to reconcile my faith in sexuality.
Of course.
But that night, more supernatural encounters happened.
More?
So, you know the whole tongues speaking thing?
What do you mean, do I know? All Christians should speak in tongues.
Yes, that's what Paul says.
Well no, actually, you know, I
speak in tongues more
when
than
I
all of you.
First became a Christian, I experienced that. And so I have not only have a difficulty with it, I think it's a perfectly normal part of the Christian life. Obviously, a lot of people disagree with me, but they can be wrong. Yeah. Okay, so go ahead.
You have to understand, like, for me, tongues represented ex-gay therapy. It represented those churches that try to change gay people, you know. So I go to sleep that night. I'm completely, I just, you know, and I've got this washing sensation over my body, like water.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's nice.
It's the Holy Spirit, of course.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, but I didn't have all that language.
Yeah.
It was just raw,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So I'm in my sleep, like, oh, wow, the presence of God, you know. Oh, this is good. In my kind of subconscious.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, I just start speaking this supernatural language in my sleep.
Yeah.
And I wake up and I'm like, I'm part of a cult, you know.
This is hilarious. This is so wonderful. This is so wonderful. In your sleep, you start speaking in tongues. People have struggled for years to speak in tongues, and you get it in your sleep. It
just happened like that, and my mom comes in her 90 with the Bible to try to help me, and she shows me a verse in John, and I liked that because it had to do with Jesus. But then she showed me 1 Corinthians 12 about a man speaking mysteries that no one can understand. And as soon as I realized it was Paul, I took the Bible and I threw it against the wall, and I said, I never want to read that book again.
Wow, because you – it's so funny. There's this heretical orthodoxy, right?
Yeah.
That everybody knows Paul – hates women and is anti-gay, and Paul is bad. Jesus good, mm-hmm. maybe Paul bad. And so here you read in Corinthians, right away you go, nope, won't accept that.
Yes, exactly. And so that happened. And then 3 weeks later, I was at the film competition. This is where my apologetic side comes in. I looked at a star in the sky and I said, all right, God, like, if you're real, I mean, I'm pretty convinced you are, but I can't just have these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I need like a rational sign, like a reply from you that I can really just trust, that this isn't just a psychological wish fulfillment.
Yeah.
Some of my gay friends have been saying to me, David, maybe this is just because, you know, you haven't had a romantic relationship for a while, so you're trying to fill a void and this wish fulfillment.
I love it.
La, 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 la.
I love it.
And
yeah.
I look up at this star and I'm like, all right, God, let's do this. Either you're real or you're not. I've got a lot to give up. I'm a gay activist, so it better be good. So I run down to the red carpet. She wins the whole film competition, this girl that prayed for me in the pub.
What do you call her? Madeline?
Madeline, yeah. And she sees me. She comes over. There's like Cate Blanchett, Jeffrey Rush, all these famous people going past me. It was like providentially organized by God. He knows what David Bennett likes.
Cate Blanchett?
Yeah. My favorite actress was just like, you know, and for me, she also represented all of my values, all of my, like, I loved theater, whatever.
Yeah.
So she's there, this girl. And she says, David, God's been bugging me to tell you that he's real and you just need to know that. She says that straight off the bat.
Now, she doesn't know what's been happening to you all this time.
No, well, she didn't know about the tongue stuff.
Right.
She just knew what happened in the pub.
Right. So on the red carpet, she says this to you.
Which the facts is like what came out of her mouth. She was like, there's angels all around this place. This whole event is for God. I'm just his servant.
Like, okay, after we get off the air, you have to tell me who this is. I just find this so wonderful that a filmmaker has this view. Okay, so then?
So then she invites me to church, and I get the interview for the student magazine with her. I go to church. It's the same church as my mom, my aunt, and my uncle. It was actually a C3 church.
What, explain to folks what that means.
So C3 is a denomination Pentecostal church. So I walked in, and the same presence I experienced in that pub was like 100 times stronger. And I just fell in love with God. Like, it was like I became an addict to his presence. And it was like I'd found the love that I'd been searching for in everything else. And I really struggled, though, because I was so gay.
Hang on. I love that. Yeah.
Hold on.
You were so gay. We're going to be right back with David Bennett. Stick around. If there's a way you make a comeback.
Hi, this is Alexander Green, Chief Investment Strategist for the Oxford Club. Just for a moment, I'd like you to picture the perfect stock. No doubt it would have hundreds of billions in revenue, more than IBM, Facebook, and Google. It would probably be a leader in cutting-edge technology like smartphones and robotics. It would be on the verge of dozens of blockbuster announcements. But most of all, it would be ultra-cheap, trading at less than $3 a share. Now, it may seem crazy that such a stock exists, but it does. It's a cutting-edge tech company that has made deals worth hundreds of millions of dollars with Nokia, Microsoft, and Cisco, and a $29.2 billion deal with Apple. It's set to create 50,000 new jobs right here in America, and Donald Trump even calls it the eighth wonder of the world. Yet you've likely never even heard of the stock. Why? Because it trades under a secret name. To find out why the secret $3 stock can help you retire, simply go to OneStockRetirement.com. That's OneStockRetirement.com.
Now playing.
What are you fighting for?
Gotta do what my father couldn't.
The movie event, 40 years in the making.
Drago's kid. It's dangerous.
Arrives.
You got people that need you now.
Creed 2 will make the whole family stand up and cheer. Michael B. Jordan.
We gotta do this together because we're a team.
Sylvester Stallone.
Now you know what you're fighting for.
What's your name?
Creed!
Creed 2, rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. Now playing.
You wouldn't put a square peg in a round hole, so why would you deploy a traditional firewall in a modern decentralized network? Firewalls have new requirements for businesses leveraging SaaS-based applications and public cloud platforms like AWS, Azure, and Google Cloud. We're in the cloud generation now, so your firewalls have to be engineered to fit right in. Reclaim your cloud network. Try a Barracuda Cloud Generation Network or application firewall free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
And when I go away, I know my heart can stay with my love. It's understood. It's in the hands of my love. And my love does it go.
Hey folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to David Bennett here in the studio in New York. His book is A War of Loves. Tremendously compelling, encouraging story. David, you just said... Okay, you've got a problem now because you are so gay and here you walk into this Pentecostal church and God is all over you and you're just like, so you're like, okay, now what?
Well, I'm sitting there and the pastor's talking about families in the church and We're not that far from the largest gay population or second largest gay population in the world. And they're in this church building and I'm there like there's no connection between these two worlds. And I'm struggling because I'm like, how can I know this love and this Jesus who seriously accepts me? He's not maybe affirming every single desire I have. Of course not, but he accepts me. He's brought me in. I've spoken in tongues. I've been received into the covenant of God. I'm justified by faith. And I discover this incredible gospel that there's nothing I could ever do to earn it. That actually my sexual desires don't disqualify me from the love of God, which is the lie the enemy had been, you know, feeding me from.
Well, that's right. Age. And how many Christians have bought that lie, that they don't have good theology on this.
Exactly.
So you understand that, okay, you're sexually disordered just like every other human being who ever walked the earth besides Jesus. And of course Jesus accepts you.
Yeah.
So
there's a difference, I would say, between having fallen desires and sin. Sin is when you choose to act on those desires.
Correct. Yeah.
So that was an important distinction for me. But then secondarily, I started to discover, Eric, that there was the same idolatry of romantic love that I knew in the gay community was actually in the church. Fancy that. But it just smelt slightly different, looked slightly different, but it was the same thing. And so I started to explore in my heart. I still believed gay marriage was okay for 3 years. I couldn't let that go. I mean, it was so important to
me
that gay marriage would be in the church so that I could have a sexually sanctified relationship. But my theology hadn't grown, my knowledge of scripture. And so 3 years later, I end up in Strasbourg, France on my exchange year for my degree. And I'm studying political science. And I'm in the country of romance. I'm like, God, I need a solid reply on this.
Okay, so for 3 years, you're walking with God. You love him. You know him. Yeah. You're studying him.
Filled with his presence.
But you still believed that having a same-sex marriage was for you and that
absolutely.
Was okay. That was okay with God.
I wanted to believe that.
You wanted to believe, okay. You end up not believing that eventually.
Yes.
But we're at the end of an hour. So this is torture for so many people. First of all, people have to get the book, A War of Loves by David Bennett.
There's a promo code you can use if you want $3 off.
Yeah. What is it? Quick.
It's 3 War of Loves.
3
War of Loves.
And the number 3?
3. And you put it in on Amazon and it will give you $3 off the book.
3 War of Loves. Yeah. We're out of time. David, I'm going to ask you to stick around and we can do a second show. But that ends the first show. Really tremendous to have you here. Thank you, David, for writing this important book, telling your story, and for being on this program. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Eric. It's been a pleasure.
General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.